Lesson 121. The Church Moves to Northern Missouri. Introduction. In 1837 and 1838, the Prophet Joseph Smith and other leaders led the Church through a difficult season. As a result of economic distress, greed, fault-finding, and persecutions, 10 to 15% of the saints in Kirtland, Ohio, and northern Missouri apostatized, including some prominent church leaders. Faithful saints in Ohio began moving to join those in northern Missouri. This lesson can help students understand and learn from historical events and give them insights into the revelations received during this period. Suggestions for teaching. Apostasy and the City of Far West. During a period of apostasy and persecution, faithful saints moved to northern Missouri. Before class, write the following question on the board. Do difficulties and trials help strengthen our faith or cause us to lose faith? You may also want to draw a map on the board showing the location of Kirtland, Ohio, and other settlements in northern Missouri. Please refer to the map on page 412 in Lesson 121. Begin class by inviting students to respond to the question on the board. After students have shared their insights, explain that in 1837 and 1838, a period of trials led many of the saints to face this very question. Explain that in this lesson, students will learn about these difficult events and how the saints responded to them. Invite students to ponder how our reaction to trials can either strengthen or weaken our faith in Jesus Christ. You might also explain to students that this lesson can help them understand the historical setting of the revelations they will study in Doctrine and Covenants, sections 113 through 123. Point to Missouri on the map. Explain that when the saints were driven from Jackson County, Missouri in 1833, the citizens of neighboring Clay County welcomed many of them and gave them relief, anticipating that the saints would stay only temporarily. However, after the saints had lived there almost 3 years, these citizens began pressuring them to leave the county. Point to Kirtland, Ohio, on the map. Explain that in 1837, the year after the Kirtland Temple was dedicated, the saints experienced trials that tested their faith. A number of saints apostatized and left the church, including some prominent church leaders. Divide the class into two groups. Provide a copy of one of the following historical summaries for each group. If you have a large class, you may want to divide students into 4 or 6 groups and give each group a copy of one of the summaries. This will allow more students to participate in the discussion. Invite each group to read the summary together and discuss the questions at the end of the summary. Assign one person in each group to lead the discussion and help the group write a principle to share with the class later. Historical summary number 1, apostasy in Kirtland. In 1837, the saints in Kirtland, Ohio, experienced some financial problems. To help the saints be more self-sufficient in their finances, Joseph Smith and other church leaders established a company similar to a bank and called it the Kirtland Safety Society. Because of a widespread economic depression during this time, many banks failed throughout the nation. The Kirtland Safety Society also failed in the fall of 1837. 200 investors in the bank lost almost everything, with Joseph Smith sustaining the greatest losses. Even though the Kirtland Safety Society was not funded by the church, some of the saints considered it a church bank, or the prophet's bank, and blamed Joseph Smith for their financial problems. Some even began calling him a fallen prophet. But despite the bank's failure, many others who lost money continued in the faith and stayed true to the prophet. A spirit of apostasy and fault-finding spread among many of the saints. Brigham Young described an occasion when some of the church leaders and saints met to renounce Joseph Smith and appoint a new prophet. Quote, "Several of the 12, the witnesses to the Book of Mormon, and others of the authorities of the church held a council in the upper room of the temple. The question before them was to ascertain how the prophet Joseph could be deposed, and David Whitmer appointed president of the church. I rose up and in a plain and forcible manner told them that Joseph was a prophet, and I knew it, and that they might rail and slander him as much as they pleased, they could not destroy the appointment of the prophet of God. They could only destroy their own authority, cut the thread that bound them to the prophet and to God, and sink themselves to hell. End quote. By June 1838, approximately 200 or 300 apostates had left the church, including four apostles, the three witnesses of the Book of Mormon, and a member of the First Presidency. However, most of the saints responded to this period of testing with faith, much like Brigham Young did. They were strengthened by the Lord, and they remained true to their testimonies. Several of those who left the church during this period of apostasy later returned and requested that they be reunited again with the Lord's church. Among them were Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, Luke Johnson, and Frederick G. Williams. In the midst of these struggles in Kirtland, a few apostates sought to kill Joseph Smith. Warned by the Spirit, he and Sidney Rigdon left during the night on January 12, 1838. Their enemies pursued them for days, but the Lord protected them. They arrived with their families in Far West Missouri on March 14, 1838. Discuss the following questions as a group. What principles can we learn from these historical events? What would you have done to remain faithful to the prophet during this time of fault-finding? When has enduring a trial with faith strengthened your faith in the Savior? In what ways has following the prophet been a spiritual protection for you? Historical summary number 2. Northern Missouri leadership. In the summer of 1836, when citizens of Clay County, Missouri were pressuring the saints to find a more permanent home, John Whitmer and William W. Phelps, the two counselors in the Missouri Stake Presidency, used church money to purchase land in a place known as Far West in northern Missouri. However, when they offered parcels of land to incoming saints, they sold the land for a small profit, which they kept for themselves. Upset by this and other offenses, the High Council in Missouri removed the Stake Presidency from office. Joseph Smith upheld the council's action, and William W. Phelps was offended. In November 1838, Brother Phelps signed an affidavit against the prophet. This affidavit contributed to Joseph Smith and others being arrested and thrown into Liberty Jail for the winter. Brother Phelps was excommunicated from the church shortly thereafter. In jail, Joseph Smith and those with him suffered immensely, not only from the brutal conditions of their imprisonment, but also from reports of the saints being driven from their homes and abused in many ways. The Missouri mobs, unchecked by the governor, destroyed property and lives, including the massacre of 17 people at a mill owned by a man named Jacob Hahn. William W. Phelps suffered spiritually for his actions, and he wrote Joseph Smith a letter asking for forgiveness a year later. The prophet wrote back, quote, "It is true that we have suffered much in consequence of your behavior. However, the cup has been drunk, the will of our Father has been done, and we are yet alive, for which we thank the Lord. Believing your confession to be real and your repentance genuine, I shall be happy once again to give you the right hand of fellowship and rejoice over the returning prodigal. Come on, dear brother, since the war is past, for friends at first are friends again at last." End quote. Discuss the following questions as a group. Why is it difficult to forgive a friend who has betrayed you and caused you to suffer? What principles can we learn from Joseph Smith's example? What other lessons can we learn from this experience? After groups have had time to read and discuss the historical summaries, invite them to recount to the class the history they have learned and the principles they have identified. As they teach, ask them to write the principles on the board. These principles might include the following. As we choose to respond to trials with faith rather than doubt, our testimonies can be strengthened. As we support the prophet and follow his counsel, we receive spiritual security that binds us to God. As we forgive others, the Lord can heal our relationships. As students identify principles, ask follow-up questions to help them understand and feel the importance of these truths. The questions might include the following. Why is this principle important for us to remember? How would you explain this truth to a friend? When have you experienced or seen an example of this principle? To help students apply the truths they have learned, ask them to select one or two of the principles the groups have identified. Then invite them to write a response to the following question in their class notebooks or scripture study journals. What will I do differently because of the principle or principles I learned today? Events leading to the Saints' expulsion from Northern Missouri. Ask students to raise their hands if they have ever seen a member of the church make a choice that caused another person to have a negative impression of the church. Do not ask them to share their experiences. You may also want to ask students to consider how their own actions have influenced others' impressions of the church. Why is it important for us to think about how our actions or words reflect on the church? Explain that in 1838, the actions and words of some church members added to the negative feeling some citizens of Missouri had toward Latter-day Saints. Provide students with copies of the following historical summary and invite a student to read it aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for things that some of the saints said or did that hurt the church and its members. Consider inviting the student to pause after each paragraph. At each pause, ask students the following question. What did a few of the saints say or do that caused negative reactions to the church? In 1837 and 1838, some disaffected and excommunicated members of the church living among the saints in Far West began to bring lawsuits against the church and its leaders and to harass the church. Some of the saints began to grow impatient with these dissenters. In June 1838, Sidney Rigdon spoke heatedly in what became known as the Salt Sermon. He referred to Matthew 5, verse 13, and said that if the salt loses its savor, it is good for nothing and should be cast out, implying that those who had left the church should be cast out from among the saints. Additionally, 84 church members signed a document ordering the apostates to leave the county. 2 weeks later, on July 4th, Sidney Rigdon gave a speech in which he promised that the saints would defend themselves even if it came to a war of extermination. Though both of these speeches seemed to contradict the Lord's instruction to sue for peace, both speeches were published and caused great alarm among non-Latter-day Saints. On August 6, 1838, as a group of saints tried to vote in Gallatin, Missouri, they were pushed aside by a group of Missourians, and one local man hit one of the saints. The saints fought back, and a number of men were injured on both sides. This incident led to additional conflicts and threats and increased the misunderstanding between the Latter-day Saints and their neighbors in Missouri. During this time, a convert named Samson Avard administered secret oaths to those who would join him in forming a band of marauders called the Danites. Avard instructed them to rob and plunder the Missourians, saying that this would help build up the kingdom of God. Avard convinced his followers that his directions were coming from the First Presidency. The truth was later discovered, and Avard was excommunicated. Avard's actions caused significant damage to the image of the church and helped lead to the prophet's imprisonment in Liberty Jail. In October 1838, a battle between some members of the church and Missouri militiamen left a few men dead on each side. Exaggerated reports of the battle reached Governor Lilburn W. Boggs, governor of the state of Missouri, who then issued what has become known as the extermination order. Quote, "The Mormons must be treated as enemies and must be exterminated or driven from the state, if necessary, for the public good." End quote. Soon, the city of Far West was surrounded by a militia that outnumbered the saints' forces 5-1. Joseph Smith and other church leaders were imprisoned in Liberty Jail, where they remained all winter. The rest of the saints were forced to leave the state. Why might it be important for us to recognize that some of the persecutions the saints suffered resulted from the church members' actions? What can we learn from these events about how our actions and words can influence others? As students respond, emphasize the following principle. Our actions and words can influence how others view the Church of Jesus Christ. You may want to ask students to read Alma 39, verse 11. Invite a few students to share experiences they have had when they have seen another person's words or actions influence someone else to have a positive view of the church. Conclude by referring again to the question you wrote on the board before class. Invite students to share what they have learned today about how our responses to challenges and trials can either strengthen or weaken our faith. Share your testimony of the power of remaining faithful to the gospel during times of difficulty.